The other thing, too, to think about, and that is a constant, like, molding thing with goals, is that, yeah, you should try hard and try to, like, get to your goals and work hard to get there. But also, like, be kind to yourself. Don't, like, set your bar so high that you're just gonna, like, disappointed and then be mad at yourself. And so I think it's, like, important to have goals and important to be motivated and, like, not be lazy on the couch. But it's also, like, if something's not working out, like, figure out why it's not working out and then try to figure out, okay, is this, like, a character about myself, or is this just, like, I'm not motivated because I'm not getting enough sleep? Okay, why am I not getting enough sleep? You know, like, ask that, like, five level of why it's not working out. And then also just know and be compassionate with yourself. Not every single goal you're going to hit every single year. It's, like, not going to happen. So learn to, like, course correct when you get there.
Welcome to the Stokecast, where each week we bring you an inspiring athlete, adventurer, or entrepreneur and dig into their stories and strategies for balancing work, life, and adventure while having fun and making a difference. I'm Jonathan Ronzio.
And I'm Emily Holland. Thanks for joining us today.
Let's get to it. Welcome to another episode of the Stokecast. I'm Jonathan Ronzio, and I'm here with...
I'm Emily Holland.
There she is.
Yep.
Hope you're doing well today. We are here with an installment. If you caught our episode right after New Year's, it was actually the first episode since really just our kind of like our teaser, our intro to the show, that we had done an episode where it was just us. And so after that episode of kind of really digging into our goal setting frameworks, the targets that we're, you know, mapping out for ourselves for the year, we decided that we would do an episode of just us once per quarter. So now here we are near the end of March and kind of reflecting back on Q1 and looking at the next three quarters for 2019 and just seeing where we're at and and what the future looks like for us. And again, trying to, you know, through communicating our stories and our goals and how we're tackling things, try and teach a little bit about the way we approach that and try and, you know, help you think about your own targets for the year or next year or whatever, just your life in general, as we stick to the theme of the show, of course, around work, life, adventure, balance, and the core areas of our lives that we need to be leveling up at all times.
Yeah. I'm stoked to be here.
Thanks for joining me, Emily.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't have
really excited to have you on the show today.
Sick, sick, sick. It was a great Q1, as us business folks talk about. Great Q1, first quarter of the year. I think that really I'd love to just like circle back on some things we talked about, right? So some of our key themes that we had discussed. And say, okay, like, what have we actually done to progress in that area? And what areas we can be transparent with that we still need to work on? And so, do you want to start, Jonathan, or do you want me to start?
Yeah, no, I don't mind kind of looking back on this last 90-day challenge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so let me just kind of take you through, like, what the last 3 months has looked like for me. I mean, It's been a little wild.
Hold on to your butts.
I've been here, there, and everywhere. Yeah. It's like honestly hard to even just think like a few weeks back, but yeah. But I know that like in January I was out in Arizona for a bit. It was my nephew's first birthday, and then also we had some investor meetings with Trainual, so I was out there for that. And then came back and then was immediately out in Whistler for, with the AIP group, another like company that I'm a part of that basically is just all the kind of corporate speaking and facilitation that I do. So I was in Whistler for a few days with that team and then got back. And then that was what? It was like mid-February. And then just a few days after that, I left for the Big Island and I was out in Hawaii for a week and I brought... Mm-hmm. Six guys out there to actually lead up climbing Mauna Kea, the tallest point in Hawaii, which is the big volcano on the Big Island. And so it was like basically an adventure-based business retreat with some elite producers that my friend Russ and I put this retreat together. And so we went out and we did this climb on Mauna Kea, and then we went down to the Marriott there in Waikoloa and did a whole, like, basically kind of what we're doing now, but basically, like, just mapping out, like, a strategic plan for, yeah. for business production through the year for, you know, both ourselves, but also mostly focusing on the guys that we brought out there.
Yep.
And then I was back from that for just a little bit, and then out in the Tahoe area with the Trainual team for, you know, our retreat.
Yep.
And then came back from that, and then my 30th birthday, actually. Managed to cram that one in.
Yep, you did it.
And then another trip out to California for a speaking gig. Like, it's been a little wild. So I've been on the road a ton,
yep.
which has, you know, I will reflect back to one of the being challenges and that I had set for my, you know, next 90 days/year mm-hmm. was obviously working on a lot of the projects in the new house. And while Alex and I have been able to knock out a few things, it's been slow going with the amount of like travel that I've had.
I think it looks pretty good here, but yes, maybe for your own like bar of how quickly you wanted it to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it looks pretty good. We're in the sound studio in the fourth floor. Is this the attic? What would you call this? The studio?
I don't know. It's my studio, but it is the attic. It was like it's
penthouse.
It's the penthouse.
Yeah.
It's the finished attic. It was the,
yeah.
I think the previous family had finished the attic for their live-in nanny.
Oh, wow.
Right? And now,
very nice.
Now it's my studio.
I like it. I like it a lot. But I also was on kind of a crazed couple of weeks. I think I've been, by the end of March, I'll probably have been in like 10 states. And it's scary.
Is it too much?
My last trip was so – let me just go through it here. So I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was in New Hampshire a couple weekends. I was in Nashville for my work's kickoff. Then I was in New York visiting my family. Then – oh, my God.
I find it interesting that you're flipping back and forth between the place, the city and the state.
Yeah.
Like you're Charlotte, New Hampshire, Nashville, New York. Like
yeah,
why do some states not get to have state names?
Because Charlotte's like a specific place in North Carolina. When I went to New York though, I'm like I'm in New York, I'm driving through New York, but when I'm flying into a city, it's like cuz I'm flying there, I'm like, Charlotte.
Were you just in all of New Hampshire?
Yeah, just went around the whole thing. just walked right through.
Mapped the border.
Yeah, yep. No, we actually, it was great. We had my boyfriend and I had a little retreat up there, and then I was up there for a friend's birthday party for a separate weekend. So we were in different places in New Hampshire, too. So when I'm not flying in somewhere, I feel like I'm more apt to be like, I'm going to the state versus. Anyway, so that's just a little bit tidbit about how I talk. And then I went to California, and then I went to Chicago. Then I went to
Illinois,
Denver. Yeah, in Illinois
and Colorado.
And then Colorado, and then going to Las Vegas and Nevada.
There you go.
And Nevada. So, and then that's kind of it. Oh, no, and then Rhode Island as well. So, in Providence.
I think you've covered it all.
So
both of us on the road a ton. It's been a wild first quarter.
So maybe we can talk a little bit about like tips for that, because honestly – for myself, I know in the past when I've had like a ton of trips, I've just kind of like worn myself ragged. And this time I don't feel like ragged. I feel kind of good. So, I mean, I'm tired and I would like to be home with my dog, but I feel still healthy and still on top of everything. So what are some things that you do while you're traveling in order to stay on top of the things that you're not doing while you're traveling?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So for the amount that I'm on the road, honestly, like if I had given this itinerary to myself 5 years ago and been like, this is all the stuff you're doing. Like it's each individual trip is incredible, like amazing places, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Scottsdale and Tahoe and Whistler and Hawaii, like amazing.
Yeah.
But the past 3 months have just been a little overwhelming with just the amount.
Yeah.
And like it's funny, I never would have like thought that there'd be too much travel. But it is like when it's just that overwhelming on my schedule, I do just want to kind of like retreat to home and just be with Alex and the dogs and just like not have to pack my bag and be at an airport. Yeah. But once I am actually on the road and on the trip, then like my mindset totally switches and I'm like all good and having tons of fun and it's great. So how I kind of like stay energized and, yeah. and keep it fresh, like, and get things done, really. Like, so on the plane, if there is Wi-Fi available, I will buy Wi-Fi. And this wasn't always the case because, like, I actually used to really like the fact that a plane was, like, the only time that I could kind of escape.
Deep work, yeah.
Yeah, and just, like, get on the plane and do nothing but, like, maybe watch a movie or read and just think about nothing else than just sitting in that seat. And but these days with, like, so many different things going on work-wise and having to cram it all in, I have found myself making sure that I utilize the time that I'm on the plane just yeah. like any other workday and just, like, getting that Wi-Fi and knocking out most of the high-level tasks that I need to get done so that when I land in a place like Whistler, I can be fully present with the people that I'm with the mountain, with whatever,
yeah.
And have fun. Same thing with, like, with Hawaii. You know, I like, made sure, obviously, long travel days, and I going from Boston all the way out there, and yeah. And I made sure that I could get all the work done that I needed to on the plane so that when I landed, I could actually just enjoy some time, you know, by the beach or yeah. Or just, you know, be climbing the mountain and just be totally present with the people that I was leading and making sure that they had an incredible experience and walked away feeling like it was worth the time spent, right? And so that's just on a work level kind of how I balance it. The thing that's gotten more difficult for me is the physical side of just like training, you know, and yeah. And we had reflected on in our post New Year's episode, I was talking about how I did that 100-mile month in December and how that was like my ramp up to get back into a training mentality after the slump post our marathon.
Yeah.
And honestly, in the last few months, I have not kept that up. I have still been active and like getting in runs where I can and cycling and stuff, actually on a bike downstairs and, you know, skiing. I know that was one of the things that I talked about from a body standpoint, a body target, was that I wanted to put the effort into skiing more this year. And I've got out more on the slopes and kind of getting a little bit more comfortable on skis and skinning up and down the local hill right down the road. So yeah. I have been putting in the effort when I can, where I can, but just with the irregularity of my schedule on the road, I haven't been able to lock in a very consistent training schedule. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to what we said before, like actually starting recording is I was like, oh, I feel like before we do this episode, we need to book an ultra, because we both said we wanted to do an ultra. And you're like, dude, I already did. Where you been? And it's like, I haven't given the mental space for like thinking about those targets.
Yeah.
It's like I've been crushing business and balance, you know, trying to do whatever I can with Alex whenever I'm home.
Yeah.
But like from a being standpoint and from a body standpoint, those have fallen a little bit for me.
Yeah. Well, so going back to the traveling thing, I just want to talk about a couple things that I do while I'm traveling a lot so that I don't get sick and that I can stay up to date on everything. So one thing I found incredibly helpful if you have a huge stint, if you're able to do this, because not everyone is, but I recommend like while you're traveling for work, if you can avoid alcohol, that is like the best thing that you can do, honestly, because you get so tired even from like one glass of wine a night that or whatever it is, you know? And so I did a dry January and I've just kind of like kept going because I just feel good and I'm traveling a lot and I don't want to like wear myself out in this kind of crucial part of my year. And so I would really highly recommend at least trying for the couple days that you're traveling to not drink, and you'll just wake up and be more energized anyways to do the things that you're there to do.
It's a good tip. I mean, that helps with jet lag too. You won't you won't get it as bad because you won't be as like exhausted. You'll be able to have a good night's sleep on the plane or on the hotel or whatever.
Yeah. So I've had like a little bit of wine since I've been out of my dry January, and just like doing that is great. But and so the second thing I would say is I bring Emergency with me everywhere, and I drink it every single day, regardless of where I am, so that you can keep the amount of nutrients that you need to get or the amount of vitamins that you should be getting. So either that or like gummy vitamins or something. Just make sure that you're continuing that, because like being up in the air is so bad for you. It's like it takes everything out of your body. And then the last thing I'll say about traveling a lot is to make sure that you have snacks with you at all time, healthy snacks.
Yep.
So have a bar or like a banana. Just get it from Starbucks in the morning if you're getting your coffee, and so you can have it throughout the day so that if you're like going meeting to meeting or whatever you're doing, you can still make a good decision about like what you're putting into your body. And then the other thing I was going to say.
Well, while you think of the next thing, I think that's a really crucial thing is like being prepared to not eat airline food, right?
Yes.
Like
have to eat at the airport because that's all bad food.
Yeah. It's just like eating out at a restaurant. Like you might find a place that tastes good, but it's like generally going to be more butter or more salt or whatever, or you'll get something that's not as healthy. Because it's like, ah, screw it. It's a travel day, right?
Yeah, yeah. So don't think like that.
Yeah.
Think about it as a normal day and that you're still in your, like, training regimen, that you're in your work regimen, your whatever. And I found that really helpful. And I've in the past have not done that and been so burnt out by the time I got home that I, like, am not effective as I can be at work and with my dog and with my boyfriend and with my family, you know?
Did you know the one part on the plane that you're most susceptible to getting sick?
The tray.
No.
The handle.
No.
Oh, okay. So you should also wipe down the tray.
Yeah. You should.
What is it?
It's actually the air vent.
Ew.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily because of all the hands touching that, but that's one part of it because when they actually like turn over the plane and they clean it, they're not wiping down the ceiling. So
trays generally.
So that doesn't typically get cleaned. But beyond that, it's just because of the recycled air. And it's just like, they're pumping what everybody is breathing out into the thing. It's just pumping back in a high pressure back into your face if you turn that on, right? So if you can avoid the air jet, I saw that it was like some Travel Channel thing.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, I remember the last thing I said. I was going to say. Make sure you bring an enormous water bottle with you or bring it with you. Don't buy a plastic water bottle. It's ridiculous. And you just go through security without it being full. It's really easy. People don't do it and it's super annoying. And then just fill it up immediately before you get on the flight so that you have a full thing of water because they only bring you those like small little baby water bottles on the flight and it's certainly not enough. You get like dehydrated three times as fast on a flight. So those are all my tips for traveling, which is the purpose of this interview.
No, but those are really good tips. I actually had an episode of dehydration flying back from Colorado or California or somewhere
somewhere.
I don't know. I was on the plane and I was flying back and I realized that I was at a coffee shop in the morning and I had had like two coffees while I was working. And then when I got to the airport, I did not heed your advice, and I had like a beer with the sandwich that I got there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got on the plane, and then like there was turbulence, so they didn't come around to like service for a while, and I didn't fill up my water bottle. And I wasn't even thinking about it, but I realized that like I had gone through almost an entire day without having a sip of water. And all I had was coffee and beer dehydrating me. And then like all of a sudden I just like started having a bout of dehydration, which kind of manifests itself in many ways like what I was talking about in that episode before Keegan, where, you know, that kind of like near fainting, like that tunnel vision, like your body just has that reaction. And like I remember I like went in the back to try to just like go to the bathroom and then like nearly passed out. And and I like tried to open the door to like leave the bathroom, and then like basically the whole plane, like my vision just blacked out, and I like had to turn around and like get back into the bathroom and sit down, and like didn't really know where I was, and it was gnarly. And
okay, so drink water while you're traveling.
I know.
Yeah, and even if you're on a train, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You should always be drinking a ton of water.
So as soon as the stewardess saw that, and as soon as I like stepped out, she just gave me a whole bunch
tons
of water, and she was like, "Oh my god, I'm so glad like you didn't really pass out because we would have had to like reroute the plane and land." And she's like, "I'm glad we didn't have to do that." And I was like, "Yeah, me too."
So you're also helping other people by drinking water.
Totally,
you're not gonna pass out.
Okay,
that was such a tangent,
but good tips. Good tips for travel. So both of us have had a ton of travel. Let's get into your goals. Take us through some of that, the targets that you've hit or not hit.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to focus on this year was quality time. And that being like quality time of my training, quality time with people, et cetera. And so I've had the pleasure of starting to train with Chris Hampton's company, Power Company Climbing, and been really focused on my climbing training. And the great thing about having, and I know this about them myself, is I need someone to like tell me what to do for a lot of things. I mean, for running, I can like force myself to do that, but I need someone to like show me the ways. And with this training program, I know exactly what I need to do, and I do it because I know someone's like watching and checking in with me. And so it's increased the quality time that I'm spending in the gym and quality of my workouts overall, just because like they're so specific and key to me getting better. And it's been incredible. The other thing I would say that too is with quality time of spending with friends, I talked a little bit about how I'm going to have to move and I need to make new friends and all that. And so I've been actively trying to, when I feel like socially anxious about anything, been actively trying to just turn it into like a, honestly, like a development mindset of, okay, well, even if I'm anxious about this, this is how it's going to feel when I move somewhere new and I don't know anyone. So I need to just use this as a training, basically, for like how it is going to be when I have to talk to people I don't know. And so, like, I went to a party yesterday, and I knew, you know, like, 10 people there, but most of the people there I didn't know. And so it was, I just tried to change my frame of mind to think, like, okay, I need to use this for bettering my social anxieties. And so that's been really interesting and fun. I've also spent a lot of time I just clapped for myself.
You spend a lot of time clapping.
Yes, clap it up. I spent a lot of time in this first quarter reading, and one of my goals this year is to read 20 books, which to people who read a lot, it maybe doesn't seem that much. But last year I read 12 or 13, and I wanted to up that. So I've already read, well, I will have read probably 6 by the time this comes out. So I'm trying to do like at least 2 per month so that if there's a month where I'm like really busy, I don't, you know, have a lapse. And it's been really good. So I think those are the main 3 that I've been – oh, and I got certified to lead climb. I took a class.
Nice.
And I finally, like, am getting – slowly getting over my fears. I'm not climbing at the level – the grade level that I want to yet because I'm just so scared still. But every time I go to the gym, I'm like, oh, I couldn't do that one before because I, like, last time I was here, I bailed on it because I was, like, too scared because it's exposed or whatever. And so – I'm excited about that. So those are the main things. And I need to focus on running because I did sign up for an ultra. It's in August, so it's like a while away. But I haven't been running at all, and like going upstairs is challenging right now. I'm like so focused on climbing that I like have not done a lot of cardio. So it's like mile here, mile there. And so I probably need to, run more. That's like a big thing I need to focus on more. For sure.
Well, I mean, that's good of you to even have found and signed up for the ultra, though. Like,
you got to do it, man.
I know.
People have asked me this, actually, on the Stokecast Instagram. Not me, but us. So I use ultrasignup.com. That is, like, has most of the ultras listed on there. You can find them, and you can search. It's not great UX user experience, but you can find like the distance that you want, like the area of the country or the world that you want to go to, and you can sign up right from there. So I use that for trail running, and then running in the USA if you're a road runner. That's like all of the races in the US, and that's that.
And those are going to be what I use too.
Yes, because you're going to sign up.
So I will find an ultra this week, and I'll sign
circle
up.
I'll
circle back.
We'll have that as an action item.
I will circle. my brother has actually been asking me about doing a half Ironman, and it like wasn't
the
on
70.3 or whatever it's called. Those things.
I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And so that actually wasn't on my agenda or radar at all, but I'm actually intrigued. So he signed up for November in Arizona, and so I'm kind of thinking about this.
Nice.
Again, it wasn't like part of my targets, and that would kind of change my like training schedule.
Yeah.
But I'll look into the ultras and figure out where and when, and then depending on that, then I'll kind of reassess this half Ironman thing. But like doing an Ironman at some point, a full one, is on my like bucket list.
Life list.
Yeah, but it just kind of wasn't really on the agenda for this year. But I have started putting some parameters around climbing and skiing Cotopaxi.
Awesome.
In either October or November. So I guess doing that as well would kind of impact if I do the half Ironman.
Yeah, yeah.
I would definitely choose Cotopaxi instead.
Yeah.
But I
with Alpenglow?
TBD.
Okay.
TBD.
Probably shouldn't put that out there. Okay. Anyway.
Well, no, I mean, so I would love to sign up through Alpenglow. The only hesitation is like if, you know, if they're running like a regular guided group, it's generally not going to be like a ski expedition.
Right.
And right. And depending on the friends that I go with, that I'm organizing the expedition with, whether they want to, you know, invest to go with Alpenglow.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously cheaper if we go ourselves.
Right.
But like it's more stress logistically to figure out, you know, the travel and the transport and getting there and working through the permits and then the route and everything. It's like it's not most of the climbs that I've done with my friends have all been just on our own.
Yeah.
Very, very seldom. I think maybe Kilimanjaro was like the only time I did a guided company because you have to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. As I kind of look at some of these, after talking with Adrian and after looking at some of my bigger objectives, like, you know, maybe in a year or two doing Choyu and eventually maybe Everest, I don't know, kind of trending that way,
okay.
then it becomes like, you know, something that I'm okay reaching to like the experts logistically on.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that like I need somebody to carry my stuff and do things for me, but just like people who have been there, there's knowledge to be gained, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Cool. Yeah. So that's in my world. So I have been, like I said, trying to ski more, though when I did go to Whistler, I brought the snowboard instead. I cheated.
Oh my god.
Well, because like
you cross country skied, didn't you?
I cross country skied.
Okay.
I did.
I'm trying to like help you here.
Yeah, no, you're giving me some credit. I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah,
no, that was like literally the week after chatting with Keegan, days after, I cross country skied for the first time. I actually did the skate skiing, which is the hard way to do it.
Those really skinny skis,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And
was so hard.
It was one of the most ridiculous full body workouts that I've ever had.
Oh my god. Was your core like on fire the entire
totally.
Time?
Yeah, yeah, totally. My legs were crushed for days.
Yeah, for days.
but I did bring my snowboard there, and it was like honestly, it was so nice because I just knew that I'd be able to do more at that mountain. I had always wanted to go to Whistler and check it out, and I knew that I could handle a lot more terrain.
Yeah,
but it was like the first trip in probably 2.5 years that wasn't like, as far as ski or snowboard, that wasn't a backcountry kind of a thing. It was
wow,
like,
that's
right.
Plush.
I know. I had like, I was packing up and I was like, this is insane that like all I need
to
is like,
anything.
Yeah, it was like a board and boots and a helmet and goggles and jacket. Awesome. Done.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need an Avi beacon and probe and harness and rope and ice screws and axe. And like, it was just crazy how easy it was. to get out there and also really refreshing just coming, because most of the backcountry stuff that I do is a little, I mean, it's always, you know, a little gnarly because it is the backcountry, but it's also like more mellow terrain. I'm not out there trying to crush stuff like Xavier De La Rue or Jeremy Jones or these like insane guys. It's just more about the pursuit.
Yeah.
But when I'm inbounds, then like, you know, I can actually get on the like serious like cliffs and the like 50 degree chutes and like things that are, you know, that I used to ride when I was living out in Aspen that I miss.
Yeah.
So that was nice. But I have not been running. So I definitely need to get back into that.
Yeah.
We have been working on the house. Like I said, just kind of, it's been slow going.
He thinks it's been slow going. No.
Well,
no.
I set high standards for myself.
I know, but dude, it's like, it's a big house and you have multiple rooms you're doing at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, give yourself a little bit of a break. The pickle room is done.
The pickle room. It's just a room. I don't know why. It smells like pickles.
There's probably some ghosts in there
maybe.
Or something from past lives.
Maybe.
The nanny still lives in there. She's in pickles.
Maybe. So regarding business, we had talked about, of course, wanting to continue to grow the Stokecast.
Woo!
And happy to report that we are
continuing to do it.
Continuing to do it. And actually, our downloads are up 40% since the end of 2018. So
oh my God.
we're growing, and
yes.
That's thanks to you. So thank you very much.
Yes.
Talking to the listeners now, not you.
But. No, but yes, thank you, Jonathan.
So that's been great. And then also Trainual has been just exploding. I mean, we've been growing like 25 to 30% month over month. It's been wild and like hiring a bunch. And of course, that's like part of why I've been, you know, continuously on the road as well, is like I'm out in Arizona at least once a month.
Yeah.
Amidst the other just adventure travel and speaking and everything. So,
yeah.
But things are exhausting, but like all going so well right now.
Yeah, I feel like all the building blocks are being put into place really well for like looking back at 2019 as a really successful growth year for both of us. Like I feel very good about my mental state right now too. Just like being fully transparent, a lot of the things that I've talked about with my boyfriend when looking at 2019 that I don't know if I necessarily mentioned on like our goal setting episode, but I do a lot of like self-sabotage behaviors, and so I'm trying to work on getting away from those. And so putting things into place like, okay, I have to go to this lead class, I have to do this training program that I already paid for or whatever, like those are the types of things that you just start to learn about yourself and you can negate even if you're not like changing the actual behavior, you know, like if someone else is watching me, I need to do it. So I've been working on that and just trying to do a bit more like positive, I think positive self-talk is big, very, very impactful to this first quarter. The other thing I would say too is that I have fully finished the In Praise of Slowness book. And Jonathan is still in it.
I'm going and, super slow.
And yeah, because you're praising
the
slowness.
Yeah. You hush now.
But it was a very good book, and that came as a recommendation from Matt Baer and Sam Elias. But very good, and I think it was, like, incredibly crucial in building out my first quarter and how I'm trying to be more effective in my life, but still taking in, like, present moments and not rushing through things for the sake of rushing through them and feeling, like, that anxiety of rushing. Airports are not good for that because everyone's, like, running through them. But otherwise, like, finding moments of slowness throughout your whole life.
No, I think it's good. I mean, so for me as a practice of kind of slowing down, despite all the different moving pieces of my life, one of the things that I've been, like, really leaning into so far this year and know that it's going to be a critical component of, like, how far I can go / all the different projects can go, businesses and everything, is how much I give into like mapping out the process. And so for so long I have been kind of a solo creator and just kind of done a lot of the heavy lifting and like done everything myself, right? Like I've been the marketer, the advertiser, the designer, the developer, the director, photographer, producer, writer, like editor, like I kind of was doing everything, and this is really a year that I'm learning to kind of like write down the process of creation and production of like all the different things that I do. And, you know, of course, on the Trainual side, hiring some, you know, digital content producer and a marketing associate that can help with some of those moving parts, like newsletter and social media curation and editing of ads. And then in like the Explore Inspired and Stokecast world, like hiring a personal assistant and hiring an editor for the podcast, which we might have mentioned on a show, or maybe it was like after, I forget if it made it into there, but we hired Chris Plant, who from CP Pro Audio, and he's been editing the show, and that's been, you know, it takes, you know, a couple hours to edit an episode and put it together, and that was a couple hours that I was doing like late night right before an episode published, and just to cram it in and keep it going. And just being able to outsource that and like trust somebody else to manage the process after having, you know, delegated it has been empowering for me.
Yeah.
To grow as a leader, and honestly, it's allowed me to produce more at higher levels.
Yeah, That's like totally true. It's literally designing your life so that you can be in your life more thoughtfully. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And be more present.
And I think, potentially some of our listeners are, in charge of a team. Maybe they're business owners. Maybe they're team managers, or maybe they're not. But like whether you are a solo creator or not, like if you haven't gotten kind of comfortable with the process of literally just like delegating how you do something,
mm-hmm.
That's like I think one of the best ways to start is maybe a virtual assistant, something like using Fancy Hands, and just kind of, have you ever heard of Fancy Hands?
No, but I'm doing Jazz Hands.
Yeah, so fancyhands.com, it's a US-based virtual assistant service, and it's not like you get a dedicated assistant, but it's just like a team of people who are there to do tasks for you, like if you needed to order roses for your partner or book a haircut appointment or schedule a restaurant reservation or manage something. It's like whatever those small tasks that you can start to just get comfortable delegating are ways to kind of like grow your head in terms of your mind in terms of thinking like, what little things can I start to take off my plate?
Yeah, because then you can also like, you're not in the weeds as much and you can pull up and say like, what is the overall strategy here versus like, oh, I need to like put my out of office or like whatever little stupid tasks come up during the day where you're like, oh, I need to like, schedule this or do that. And it's like, well, that takes you out of being like a thought leader. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. That's cool. Fancy Hands. I like it. One other thing I wanted to mention too, which I actually think that your friend Russ posted this too, but I learned from Andrew about it. So this guy, Cal Newport, have you heard of him?
Name sounds familiar.
He's a writer, and he focuses on digital minimalism. And so he wrote this book recently. Well, he has a couple books, but one of them is Deep Work, and one of them is Digital Minimalism. And
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
And Digital Minimalism, I haven't read the full book, but Andrew, my boyfriend, was talking to me about it. And as I was reading In Praise of Slowness, it kind of like all comes in culmination. It's kind of like a good couple books to read in succession. And it's really interesting. And basically he talks about of course, the like addictive nature of a lot of our technology, but ways to minimize some of the things that you do on a daily basis to maximize joy and maximize efficiency while still maintaining like what you have to do at work or what you have to do as an entrepreneur or whatever. So it's really, really interesting. And I would definitely highly recommend at least just looking at like the quick tips you can do, because he has them. There's like an article on Medium that you can outline like, these are the 10 things you can do on your desktop. These are the 10 things you can do on your phone to like literally minimize like the apps you have on your dock or something like that. It's like really simple stuff, but the just seeing different apps is anxiety inducing, and it like takes you out of what you're trying to do. So I've actually found that when I'm at the office, which is not a lot these days since I'm literally traveling every week, but when I'm at the office, I put my phone in my bag and I don't even look at it for the rest of the day. Some people, if you're entrepreneurs, you have to have your phone out because it's the way you talk to people. But like maximizing those times in that you're being effective on your digital devices so that when you're not on your digital devices, you're not thinking about them. You're not like, they're not next to you, like pulling like the ring in Lord of the Rings. Like, hey, come on, look at me. Look at my stupid Instagram post or whatever, you know? And so it's been really, honestly, pretty life-altering, life-changing to not even have my phone next to me during the workday.
I think like when you do, like you're just sitting there with your phone, it's almost like an unconscious compulsion.
It's to like just smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, to just hit the like Instagram or Facebook or email apps, like whatever, you know? So I know what you were talking about now. I remember, Russ, I mean, if you check him out at Russ Perry, but his post was that he bought an iPad just for social media and downloaded the social apps for just that iPad and then deleted them all off his phone, deleted and blocked them all on his desktop so that he could really just focus in his attention to, for 90% of the day or whatever when he's just on his laptop or his phone to be creating and not consuming.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a principle that I try to live by is like, 80% creator, 20% consumer.
Yeah.
But obviously it ebbs and flows, and sometimes the compulsion is like uncontrollable, and you
it's
just keep opening
right
it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's next to you while you're sleeping, like a lot of us use it for our alarm clocks or whatever, even if it's the same room, there's like studies about how that can raise your anxiety, even if your phone is just next to you, you're not even looking at it. So, you know, even for sleep patterns, it's really helpful to like not have devices next to you. We don't absolutely have to have them next to you. It's kind of crazy.
No, I dig that. That was a good thing to bring up.
So definitely take a look at that. We can post some of the links and everything. It's been life-changing to me. Another thing that they recommend is not looking at your email right away when you wake up, because it really zacks a lot of your energy. What is zacks? I just said zacks a lot. I meant zaps.
It zacks your energy?
I was like, that's not right.
It's Zach, cool. Zach Morris's Zach, your energy?
Get it out of here, Zach. energy gone. But to do like your deep thinking and your deep work in the morning, you know, and even things like if you work in an office and you have some sort of like Skype for Business or GChat or something that's coming up and popping up, make sure you put Do Not Disturb on that when you're trying to really like get into a deep zone. Little things, and it's really, really helpful.
So one of the things that I talked and taught about on the last Target episode, you know, just after New Year's, was the core four. Mm-hmm. And of course, like I've kind of mentioned that as I've been reflecting through the different aspects of my goals and it being, you know, around body and balance and being in business. And I will be the first to admit that kind of like morning core four routine has been inconsistent.
Yeah.
And it's something that I strive to do every day, but with all the travel, it's just so easy to let that slip. And
yeah.
And to kind of get out of a habit. And then when you get back and it's like after a trip and you're, you know, exhausted and so many of
like,
the...
I deserve to sleep.
Yeah,
I've been
right?
working for so long. Yeah.
So many of the flights that I've taken like back from the West
red
Coast
eyes.
Have been red eyes because I want to like maximize my days and not waste the time on the plane, but actually get back earlier. So I'll take the red eye, but then I get back and I'm just like exhausted anyway and don't get much done mm-hmm. the next day. And then my sleep schedule is a little off. So... that's definitely, as I look forward into the next 90 days, I have a little less travel on the books. There is a trip coming up, of course, back to Arizona. That's going to keep going consistent. I'll be back out in Scottsdale likely monthly. But and then also out to France at the end of April for actually Alex is competing in the Nations Cup for Theater on Ice.
Yeah.
And we are bringing our moms. So
nice.
That'll be a fun little trip to Epinal, France.
Yeah.
But there's less travel than the last few months, which is refreshing to me to actually, you know, get back into more of a training routine
mm-hmm.
and to get back into more of that core four morning routine, because I really do believe and have experienced, so I know it, that like it really sets up power and productivity for the day when you can knock that out.
Yeah, I remember you were doing that when we were in Denver for OR in the summer last year, and that
mm-hmm.
was like you were like on it, and you had my green smoothie ready too when I was getting up, so that was really nice. So can you do that again? No, but I think the other thing too to think about, and that is a constant like molding thing with goals, is that you should try hard and try to like get to your goals and work hard to get there, but also like be kind to yourself. Don't be like, you know, not you, but the royal you. Don't like set your bar so high that you're just gonna like disappointed and then be mad at yourself. And so I think it's like important to have goals and important to be motivated and like not be lazy on the couch. But it's also like if something's not working out, like figure out why it's not working out and then try to figure out, okay, is this like a character about myself or is this just like I'm not motivated because I'm not getting enough sleep. Okay, why am I not getting enough sleep? You know, like ask that like five level of why it's not working out. And then also just know and be compassionate with yourself. Not every single goal you're going to hit every single year. It's like not going to happen. So learn to like course correct when you get there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I think like looking back on the last 90 days, I know that despite not signing up for an ultra or like feeling like I got enough done at the house, like I know that, you know, we knocked out a couple rooms of painting and
yeah.
and we also like we launched the travel stack on Explore Inspired with all the different resources, and the Stokecast is growing, and Trainual is growing, and yeah. And I had some speaking gigs, and did the pilot for that adventure business retreat in Hawaii. Like, there was a lot of success.
Yeah,
it's just like it kind of feels like an overwhelming whirlwind to yeah. think back through yeah. and try and pinpoint all that. But you're right. You're right.
Oh my God. What?
So yeah. Right.
Stop.
So what? How are you looking at your next 90 days?
The next 90 days are. The way that I'm looking at them is basically it's like kind of crunch time for my move. And so we're trying to put things in place every weekend or do something every weekend towards that so that when we get to May or we get to the end of April, we can like just enjoy the rest of our time in Boston and see our friends and everything and not be like, okay, well, this day we have to like go put all our stuff together and like be stressed the entire time. So we've already started to like clean out our places and everything like that. So the next 90 days are quality time, but more so with family, friends, getting back to running for me, and just focusing on having an open mind throughout this move. What about you?
Those are all good things.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'm excited for you that you're moving, but I'm also not excited that you're moving. So, but it's going to be good.
So crusty, man.
I
so
know.
Crusty.
Well, summer OR is going to be cool.
Yeah. We can do a bunch of episodes during that time too.
Very true.
Nailed it.
Yeah. So always looking on the bright side there. There's, yeah. there's the silver lining in Emily's move.
Yeah. Yeah.
no. So the next 90 days for me, like I said, it's a little less travel.
Yes.
I mean, who knows what might come up, but still, I think it's just a matter of like finding my my flow in like a real routine again, and a little less time in the air and a little more time outdoors.
Yep.
Is really what I'm hoping for, and then continuing to up the trend line, go up on all the all the things that are moving in my life and. And actually, I need to get to the rink. One of the things that I mentioned was that I was gonna get on those skates with Alex, and I have not done that yet. So
oh man.
So actually, getting to the rink and starting my road to the axle.
Yikes.
that'll be fun.
Fun. But yeah. So oh, are you done? I just cut you off.
No. And then, well, of course, I have to sign up for an ultra.
Yeah.
And
you do.
Probably pull the trigger on Cotopaxi.
Yes. Okay. I like all those. So, guys, you can share with us what your goals are or how you're trying to get to your goals or how your 2019 year is going on our Instagram. We are always very responsive on that. It's the Stokecast, obviously. But we want to hear from you and how you're doing. If you have any questions, we'll have all this stuff in the show notes as well. But you can always ask us if you hear something on the Stokecast that you want to know more about.
Definitely.
Cool.
Definitely follow along. Connect with Emily and I if you haven't already. Follow the Stokecast. Hit that subscribe button.
Hit it.
If you have not already, we want you to stick with us through these conversations, both our personal shares here and and our experience shares with our guests, our amazing guests that we bring on every week. So we're going to keep bringing incredible, inspiring athletes, adventurers, entrepreneurs, activists. You know the deal. They're going to keep coming to you every week, and then we'll speak with you in what, another 90 days.
Yeah, that sounds good.
For our target check-ins.
Right? Yeah. No, before OR. Okay.
Before OR.
We love you. Goodbye.
Thanks again.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Emily Holland.
And I'm Jonathan Ronzio. We'll catch you next week with another episode of the Stokecast.